Was a ramp a con?
Yes!
Well, it was the best of those movies.
Con!
Your work on anti-electron collisions is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to promise me that.
All that I have and more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies, episode 145, I think. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Brennan.
See, wasn't that easier than editing, guys?
Yeah.
Well, it was for me.
I really don't have an opinion on that.
Yeah, it was exactly as easy as editing for me.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to start out by talking about a show that I'm not sure what the fuck to make of it now. We've been talking about a little bit, Bates Motel. I actually stayed awake for an entire episode.
You got through an entire episode?
I got through two straight now. It's kind of getting good. Like, they're starting to figure out that we don't give a fuck about anybody but Norman Bates and his mother, and they're starting to act accordingly now. Like, the whole thing with the drug deals going around town, they're still there, but I almost feel like they're lessening it. Like, it's sort of, it's being pushed by the wayside. We're now focused on Norman Bates becoming a psychotic killer. I'm kind of down with that.
Excellent. That's the premise you wanted, signed up for.
Because the actor, like I said before, the actors aren't the problem. The stories are the problem. And the problem is there's too many killers in this town. They're starting to remove some killers. It's a good move, dude. I don't know.
So now we know where Dexter ended up.
Yeah, he's logging in. Oh, by the way, they also, when I first watched that, I kept watching the show. I was like, this looks like it was fucking filmed in Oregon.
It is Oregon.
Well, that's what they just said on the show the other day. And I was like, oh, fuck.
No, they've been doing that all along, even have season they? One.
Okay. You were just asleep for it.
You must be right. But yeah, I was kind of happy. But I remember looking up on the internet and it was filmed in British Columbia. So I was like, ah, shit. Like, it looked like Oregon. So they must be faking it to look like Oregon. But then I'm also wondering, do they film some of that on the Universal lot? Because it looks like the Bates Motel house.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Because I know they have, I'm sure they have the rights to the hotel and everything.
They wouldn't be doing it if they didn't.
Yeah.
I
was actually at the Universal lot where they did that, where they filmed the original Psycho.
I know you were, because you sent me a postcard.
I did send you. I also had a door hanger, like they put on the hotel room doors that said Bates Motel.
That's cool. Yeah, he sent me one, and I swear I thought I still had it, but I did not see it in anything when we moved. So unless my wife packed a box and I got stuck away somewhere, it must have finally gotten lost. But he sent me a postcard that shows a Bates Motel. And I remember you saying something about how I got to go. I'm going to take a shower now. And I was like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And I liked it enough where I kept it for like 18 years or whatever the fuck it's been.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, shoot, it was 93 when we went there, so.
Is it? So, Jesus, 19 years?
21 years.
21 years.
Oh, going up,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
93, how I remember you. So sweet, so innocent.
Like, yeah, everybody remembers when they're negative two.
I was not negative two, thank you very much.
Were you negative one?
I was regular two.
Oh, regular two. Sorry. You'll always be 21 to me, Zach.
Yeah.
Just what does old that mean?
It means I'll always be old enough to make a bad decision and young enough not to know better. Wink.
So the last episode of The Walking Dead happened tonight. We won't be talking about
but
that.
But it happened, and we need to acknowledge that it happened.
We won't be talking about that this episode or next episode. I'm going to pretend like this is giving everybody a chance to get caught up.
Okay.
It's going to give me a chance to get caught up. Is it going to happen?
Yeah, it'll give me a chance whether I will. I probably will.
Oh, I will. I'm one episode away from being caught up, so that's just because I was working up until this podcast, so, and eating McDonald's. I was doing that, too.
Sweet, sweet Donald's.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Taco Bell commercial where they interview various people named Ronald McDonald?
I just saw that tonight. Yeah. I was watching that and I'm like, that's really gotcha.
Yeah, it is.
That's it. You know what I would do if I was McDonald's? Like, it was Taco Bell that did it. I'd strike out at Wendy's because I don't look at Taco Bell as real competition. I think Wendy's is more. So I would start interviewing people named Wendy or Dave Thomas. Maybe Dave Thomas. That's
Yeah, we need him more of Dave Thomas on the air.
That's right. Like, you could interview, like, comedian Dave Thomas, for example. That's all I got.
Bobby I mean, there has to be a baseball player named Dave Thomas, right?
Sure.
I know there's a Frank Thomas.
Close enough. Call him in. Call him in, Mickey D's.
Frank Dave Thomas.
Well, I remember back in the clubhouse, all the boys used to call me Dave.
Let me think here. What else was I going to... Oh, Hannibal. Have you been watching Hannibal yet?
No. I like to let a few... I just prefer watching it in big chunks. I just do. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, well, this is what I'll say without really spoiling anything. The second season is better than the first.
I believe that.
You're really... Like, it's really focused on Hannibal now. And the little side thing that they have is so incredibly fucked up. Like, even for this show, which shows incredibly fucked up things. Like, there's a guy who's sewing people into a mural in this water tower. And he's got, like... He's picking them by skin tone, so that's like a color palette.
He's an artist. He's not stupid.
And so the episode opens with this dude like waking up sewed into this fucking mural and like rips himself out of the mural. It's fucking insane, dude. it's fucking insane.
Oh, but I cannot wait to see that happen.
And the whole thing with having Will Graham like locked up in the institution while Hannibal comes to like kind of torment him. And Hannibal still considers him a friend, which is so fucked up, dude. I love it. I love this show, and it makes me really sad that it's probably going to be canceled at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I like from what I've been hearing, the ratings are still bad on the show, and I just can't imagine it surviving. So please, everybody within the sound of my voice, like, just check it out. Just watch some Hannibal. Check it out. Like,
well,
help save this
before
show.
That, first get a Nielsen box, because otherwise it doesn't matter if you watch it or not. Because you will not save the show.
Write a letter. Like, it saved Star Trek for three seasons.
Saved Friday Night Lights.
That's right. So write a letter or something.
Saved Community, too.
Did it?
Yep. For Friday Night Lights, people would send in letters and bottles of Clear Eyes. And for Community, they sent in paintballs.
Excellent.
Which I also participated in.
I'd send in knee pads just so that it'd be easier to take a knee.
Yeah.
Take a knee, son.
Well, they had to do Clear Eyes because Clear Eyes and Full Hearts can't lose.
You know who else can't lose? Parker Lewis.
Damn right.
Do you remember that show? Like, very well.
Vaguely.
I saw a rerun of it, like, 7 or 8 years ago. I saw like one episode and I was like, this is a fucking weird show. I can't believe I watched this weird show. Did you ever see this show?
Because
it was on before you were born.
Reruns.
He was existing. Very young. It's early 90s.
But it was on like when we were in middle school. Like, I'm pretty sure it started when I was, like, in 7th grade, whatever year that was.
No, I think that was when it went into syndication.
No, I think it's... Oh, you mean it's even
like
older
on USA. It was early 90s, like, 91, 92-ish.
Yeah, that's... Well, that would have been...
No, that was 7th grade. 8th
grade, yeah. That show was weird, man.
Yeah, I have sort of vague memories of it, and I don't know if it's from seeing it when I was really, really little, seeing reruns at some point, or just seeing bits and pieces along the way. So I sort of have fragmented memories, but I'm familiar with the show. Okay. Like, I know what it is.
So here's the interesting thing about this show. Like, so when it came out at the same time as they did a Ferris Bueller TV show. And it was one of those things. I remember being a kid and loving Ferris Bueller's Day Off and being like, fuck this show. Like, it's going against Ferris Bueller, and then watching the Ferris Bueller show and being like, this is terrible.
Fuck this show.
And then watch Parker Lewis, which is the same kind of guy, but just inherently weirdness all around him. And that was a fun show, I remember. Like, They had one guy who hangs out with him named Jerry. He wears
the trench coat.
Yeah, this is why it could never happen today, because he wore a trench coat, and we're still like, anybody who wears a trench coat is involved.
It's funny because a lot of the Kevin Smith jokes I feel like came from Jerry. Like with the trench coat with all the extra shit in it, it looks like Batman's utility belt.
He would literally pull anything out of his jacket, and you'd hear the sound of Velcro going, and he would just pull out like ice cream sundaes or a snake or whatever. But he always had everything like Velcroed into his coat.
Speaking of the trench coat thing, you know how you're saying you couldn't do it today because of the sort of the stigma with trench coats? That's a no-no. Like, I thought that was a media-created stigma. I have that stigma. Because I went to see Noah this weekend with my mom, and she was getting some concessions, and I was hanging out waiting for her. And this guy in a trench coat with an angry look who walks sort of like a skinny frittata rhino just back and forth across the theater. And my mom came over, and I was like, I'm glad that dude's not coming into the same movie as us, because I don't know if he's shootery, but he looks shootery.
Is it a guy with like platinum blonde white hair?
No. No, he had like short yellow hair, but I know the guy you're talking about. I see him around all the time. He doesn't look shootery so much as he looks drugged out of his mind.
No, he's flat out crazy.
I believe that. I believe you.
Yeah. David C.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Dude, his hair could be any color.
It's platinum blonde
and really long.
Okay.
I see him a couple times a week walking by my office.
Gotcha. I haven't seen him for a long, long time.
You'll know when you do.
No, I will.
You'll see him walking around town. You're like, oh,
you'll know before you see his face. That.
All right, let's be careful here.
I don't know him. I have nothing to lose.
The trench coat thing doesn't worry me because I wore a trench coat for a while, and like my buddy Colin always wore a trench coat even after Columbine. So it's like, that's not something that really bothers me.
Here's my real thing with trench coats. Like, beyond the shootery thing, it's more that trench coats to me are an artifact of bad fashion we should leave behind, like bell bottoms and mullets. Like, that's one of those things we should have let just stay in the past.
I hear what you're saying.
Nobody looks good in a trench coat. They don't look good.
But I don't know. Like, I wore leather jackets and trench coats.
Leather jackets I can work with. Trench coats don't look
good. See, the leather jacket is a more shameful thing for me, because I think about that and it makes me laugh every time. Like, I mean, when did I finally not wear leather jackets? It was probably when I was like 24.
Something about like that.
Like, I wore a leather jacket almost every day from the time I was like in sixth grade until I was like 24 years old.
You were the leather jacket guy. It was your thing. You couldn't give it up.
I should have had a switchblade. I never did.
You should have gotten at least a switchblade comb.
Yeah. I had one or two of those that I won at the arcade.
Nice.
Yeah, that's another relic of the past.
But those should still be around. I should be able to walk into any grocery store in the country or any gas station and find those, and I can't, and it's a travesty.
You know why I think the arcades don't exist anymore? They got exceeded. I know we can say a million other things, but this is before like phones came out and everybody had a video game in their pocket and stuff. Like they just started to get lame. It was like every time you walked into it, it was nothing but like race car games that were attached to each other.
There was only one thing I care about in an arcade. If they got skee-ball, I'm happy.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Skee-ball's my shit. I don't give a shit what else is in there. If they have skee-ball, I'm fine. Ski ball and air hockey. Those are my two.
Now, me and Greg hoops. Back in the day, we would show up, just to play NBA hoops. Jam.
Yeah.
Well, I always like the little hoop machine where the little back and forth moved back and forth.
I really like the one that's for little kids that you can just tower over and drop.
Yeah.
Do you ever sit there and just put it in and out so it just keeps rolling tickets?
Well, you know, it's
just palm it and
really disappointing about some of those little kids ones, and even some of the big ones, is now that you're big enough to sort of see them, not every place, but a lot of places would sort of hammer the rim in, so it'd be an oval.
Yeah.
And so the ball wouldn't go. And once you're tall enough to see that on the kids' ones, like, your world is shattered. You can't trust anyone anymore. Nothing, if that's not sacred, nothing is sacred.
Yeah, I mean, I was already defiling it before I ever figured that out, so I'm fine with it.
You got it back. You got yours.
They're just evening the playing field. That's what they're doing. You ever go to Chuck E. Cheese's?
Yeah, but only a few times.
Yeah, since they kicked you out for like trying to leave with children.
Yeah. No, just because there wasn't.
Alone, left with the child.
For being a professional?
They always have this thing. I've been to like 4 or 5 Chuck E. Cheese's in the modern Chuck E. Cheese era because it goes through eras. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the modern era always has. Okay, all 4 Chuck E. Cheese's I've gone to since I've had kids were exactly the same. And they all had this one spot where you could be a rock star and you stand by a camera and it like puts you in a video. But none of them work. Not a one, dude. 4 fucking Chuck E. Cheese's, not a one worked.
Amazing. That's some bullshit.
Amazing. Like, it probably didn't work from the get-go, and they're just
it's
like,
they
know,
have,
it looks
they all
cool.
have the same shitty technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on that. But yeah, and they put a stamp on you so that you can't leave with a kid. I'm just telling you, Zach.
First of all, but that's not the only beer. Reason I go to Chuck E. Cheese. Secondly, if you're wily and quick enough, the stamp's not going to stop you.
I love the idea that Chuck E. Cheese has to do that because parents just don't watch their kids, dude. Like, I'm in a Chuck E. Cheese. I don't care if they fucking stamp hands. Mm-hmm. I'm on more guard at a Chuck E. Cheese than I am anywhere yep. else because that is like Predator Central. Like, yep. if I'm at a place like
it's
that.
It's basically a buffet for a molester.
It is, dude. They're always like,
they get to, you want
some tokens? I got some in my pocket. Dig them out.
Any Chuck E. Cheese you walk into, you can always spot like the 3 most likely suspects immediately. And then it's just a matter of being there the 10 or 15 minutes it takes to narrow it down. Because you got to know the competition.
I actually, I went to the Good Samaritans in town, which is a secondhand store. Must have been the fall before last. But I was walking in with my daughter, and she was about 10 feet ahead of me, but I was keeping an eye on her. And this creepy old dude came over and started talking to her. And I, like, started coming up, and he didn't see me. And he was like, hey, come here. And, like, trying to pull her into another aisle. And I was like, excuse me. And, like, kind of walked by and, like, grabbed her. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, dude. So then I sort of kept an eye on that dude, and he just, like, shuffled right out the door. That's scary.
That's
shit, funny,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of scary shit. But, I mean, I'm like, I don't know. I'd never take my eyes off my kids in public. I'm like fucking hyper vigilant. I'm going to be honest. It's more because I'm afraid they're going to fuck something up. I would like to pretend like I'm super protective dad, but it's more because I'm dead convinced they're going to try and break something or steal something. So not on my watch.
You got to shut it down.
That's right. But it just happens to stop my kids from getting kidnapped. I don't know.
Yeah.
there's a side benefit there.
That's right. So in front of the wife, it's because I'm making sure they're okay.
Of course.
But in reality, it's because they fuck something up, I'm sure. Anyway.
So how was Noah?
I really liked it. I thought it was almost awesome.
Almost
awesome? Almost awesome. It's really, really good. It has some flaws that I can pick at. But over...
Like his last name is Ark?
Yep. Yep. No, it's really well done. It's Darren Aronofsky just he doesn't try to play any sort of like both super hardcore like literalist Christians and super hardcore atheists are both going to hate this movie. But people who can just appreciate a story will like it. And it helps that it is gorgeous to look at. It is just beautiful.
I got a serious question for you.
Yeah.
Do the giraffes go ass to ass?
They have in the movie, they have sort of a convenient excuse to explain how they were able to stay in the ark with all those animals for so long. And they have some sort of plant that when you burn it, it creates a smoke that puts them into like a long sleep.
This doesn't answer my ass to ass question.
No, they don't go ass to ass because they're asleep.
Okay.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to say it.
Well, I thought, you know, they're walking up a ramp. They're walking down a ramp. There's some time.
There's something...
And I guarantee they showed a giraffe, right? I've not seen the commercial for this, but I bet they showed giraffes at some point.
They don't really focus... There's no, like, giraffe shot. There's a scene where you can see some giraffes
many
in a crowd.
Many animals. Yeah, see, yeah. That's the thing. If you're showing lots of animals, there's always going to be a giraffe. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing... I still haven't figured out how to no-prize it, but I will. because they conveniently explain how so throughout the movie you see sort of species of animals that don't exist, right? And they explain how some of these species didn't make it after the flood, because there's a guy played by Ray Winstone who's like the antagonist of the movie, who manages to sneak on the ark. And their excuse for how these animals don't make it is he's eating them during the trip. So he's eating all the animals that don't make it.
That's great.
Yeah, dude. It's awesome.
Is that all you got?
I mean, it's good. The thing is, like, there's not much you can really spoil, but it's sort of hard to put into words what makes it so cool. Because it's just like, it's a well-told story. Like, I'm not going to sell you on how great the story is, because you already sort of know the story. He adds some interesting little twists to it.
Is it like the Bill Cosby version of the story?
No.
Hey, Noah!
What? One of my other favorite unique little things is there's this sort of race of creatures in the movie called the Watchers, who are like these big stone monsters. And what they're fallen angels. Who came down to try to help Adam and Eve after they were cast out of Eden. And the way they explain how they got this crazy rocky appearance is basically the angels were just beings of pure light. And when they fell to earth to try to help Adam and Eve.
Cosmic rays hit them.
No, God cursed them. I'm moving past. And as they hit the earth, they superheat the earth around them. And it sort of becomes molten lava and encrusts over them. It's a kind really gives cool them scene.
Flame powers, if you will.
Sadly, no. They do have some badass fighting. Definitely not invisible. Moves. They fight a lot more like the Thing. They just sort of swing their limbs about and hit like 40 people at a time into the sky. It's really cool.
But fortunately, the people are stretchy, so they just
go, whirl. Well, see, the smart ones are the ones who turn invisible and put up force fields. Those are the ones who make it the furthest.
When did it happen that Sue Storm became the most like? The most badass member of the Fantastic Four, because she never was at first, and now she's the one that can pop somebody's brain. Like, because, you know what I mean?
They had to give her something to do, and secondly, they could not live with the long running joke about how they have one woman on the team and her power is to disappear and get out of the way.
Right.
Like they had power to get hide. Exactly. They had to get away from that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did.
No, I'm not criticizing. Now she's super cool. I think it's great.
I think she's super cool.
I was just wondering, like, at some point, I was reading, and all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second, she can put force fields in people's brains and give them an embolism? That's awesome.
It's been a while since I went back and reread the Fantastic Four stuff through, like, the Essentials. And I haven't read all the Fantastic Four, but as far as I remember, it just sort of happened. Like, she just started doing it. Yeah. They didn't make a big thing about it. She just sort of...
it was just one day picked up an issue, and I was like, what?
And she talks about it in the issue. If I'm remembering correctly, talks about figuring it out. It
was probably the 90s when it happened.
It would have been sometime in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just sort of happened. Which also I like. They didn't make a big to-do about it. It's just like, oh yeah, she can do it now.
Yeah, because they were too busy drawing her jokes.
My favorite thing is they
make a big to-do about it, dude.
They were sort of like, she could always do this. She just hadn't figured out how yet. Like, she was always capable of it. She hadn't
gotten sick enough where she was like, hey, I could kill somebody with this. Let's
fuck someone's world up.
Oh, you'll hit them with stone? How quaint.
That's cute.
I'm going to lobotomize.
We'll let you handle the bank robbers and drug dealers. Okay, Ben? I'll take care of the Dr. Dooms of the world.
Oh, shit. Sue Richards, you've done it again. Let's see what else. I watched Inside Llewyn Davis last night, finally.
Yeah.
It's definitely a Coen Brothers movie.
Super Coen Brothers.
Yep, there's John Goodman in it.
He's in it.
That's a good sign that it's a Coen Brothers movie.
I take it you did not like it?
No, I liked it.
Oh, okay.
No, I did. I actually bring this up. Have you seen it yet, Brandon?
I have not seen it yet.
Do you care if I talk about it?
No.
It's a Coen Brothers movie, so even if I talk about it, you're not... like, it's a Coen Brothers movie. Yeah. You're just going to enjoy it. First off, when I start watching, my wife's like, what's this about? And I'm like, I literally know nothing about it except for it's based off of a guy whose claim to fame was that Bob Dylan did one of his songs and that Zach said it had a good soundtrack. And she laughed and she goes, that's so you. And I was like, what's so me? And she's like, Zach said. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, nothing. Oh. I kept pushing her. She wouldn't like follow it up.
Okay. Honest to God, when you said, she said, that's so you, I thought you were going to say, of course you're willing to sit through this just because it has a good soundtrack. I did not expect Zach says. Yeah. I did not expect that to be what was coming.
Well, I think she makes fun of the fact that I bring it up, like, if my friends like a movie, that I bring it up all the time. Because, like, if something is, like, critically acclaimed, then I'll, like, say that. But I'll also say my friends and stuff, too. Because as far as I'm concerned, we're critics.
Yeah, we are. We criticize things all the time.
That's right. But we had a disagreement, and I wanted to get your take on it. Now, when we finish watching the movie... Okay, so my wife's take is that he's just a kind of a shitty guy who's a musician, and that he got what he deserved at the end, which was beating the fuck up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, my take, this is my take, okay? So my take was he was a shitty musician. Shitty in that, like, he did a lot of bad things, right? Yeah. Is that fair to say? Yeah. Like, he was pretty self-absorbed.
He's a bad guy.
Right. Okay, so... I got the impression that he was going through all this and the lesson that he had to learn was like to learn to enjoy people because like he seemed to like seem like he wanted to be like hand's length away from the audience. He didn't want a partner. Like he didn't want a baby. He didn't want a cat. Mm-hmm. Like even though he's going to protect the cat, he didn't really want it. Like he didn't want his fans. Like he didn't want all these things.
He just wanted to be by himself and play music.
So at the very end, he suddenly sort of figures it all out. Like, he figures out, I got to stop pushing people away. And he goes on stage, and they love him. Like, they absolutely love him, which is something you didn't see before in the movie. Like, everybody, like, loved him. And he seemed to genuinely be enjoying it and enjoying people's company at the end, right? Then I think, like... Bob Dylan came on and started singing his song, and that was like the achievement, like, okay, so because you did this good thing, karma sort of swung your way, but you still got to take your licks at the end because of the shitty things you've done. I think he accepts that because it's a good trade-off.
Okay.
That was how I read it. My wife just thinks he was shitty all the way through, and that's...
I agree with your take. I also think that the beating is less he needed to take his lumps, although I do think that's a part of it, and more that he needed to prove that he really had learned. You know what I mean? Like, by getting that beating, he had a choice, essentially, to either continue down the path he had finally put himself on or go back to being who he was. Like, he could have taken that event and recoiled and said, no, fuck this. This is what happens when you try to be open. People hurt you and take advantage of you.
I could see
that. And so I think that was sort of the big setup, is whether or not he can basically continue improving himself through what he learned, or whether he's sort of doomed to fuck himself over for the rest of his life.
So we both like read into a lot of meaning in this. My wife didn't. She just thought it was about a folk singer who's sort of shitty.
Yeah, which, listen, you can watch the movie on that level and still enjoy it, I would think.
Yeah. No, she enjoyed it. Yeah. She said she did. Yeah, I don't know. Like with the Coens, it seems like there's always messages in their stuff, but you can draw what you want out of it.
That's what sort of one of the things I love so much about them is that you can watch them on their base level of this is the story.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to dig deeper if you want.
The Big Lebowski is the perfect example. Like, that's just a funny movie. It's fucking funny all the way through. It's a lot of bizarre characters and it's funny. But if you want to, like, get into, like, really understanding what the mystery is, there's a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. And then there's fucking weird, like, there's much bigger messages in that movie as well. So you can go as deep as you want to in that movie, but I think it's enjoyable on every level.
We all know what the biggest message to take from that movie is, though.
You have to swear so much.
Don't fuck people in the ass.
Never fuck a stranger in the ass.
Or like they say on TV.
Find a stranger in the Alps.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, Larry. This is what happens. Which I kind of like better than fuck a stranger in the Alps, because it's just bizarre. It makes no sense at all. Stranger in the Alps.
Another one of those I like is in Scott Pilgrim.
Like, they didn't even like set it up. They didn't even have a cutscene to set it up or anything. They're just like, nope. Find a stranger in the Alps.
One of my favorite one of those is for Scott Pilgrim, Edgar Wright planning ahead for the eventual transition to TV syndication, had them film alternate takes.
Do that a lot.
But what he did was he only had them replace everything with the word owl.
Scarface had some good ones. They have a DVD I have for Scarface has a special feature where they change all the swearing for TV. And like, there's one where he's like, this town is like a pussy just waiting to get fucked. And they change it to, this town is like a chicken just waiting to get plucked. And you're like, that kind of like works. It's funny, but it also works. Yeah. There's a lot of them that don't work. But that one was the one that I remember.
I guarantee you, whoever wrote that switch gave themselves a big pat on the back after. They're like, fucking nailed this one.
It's no Find the Stranger in the Alps, but no. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, no one's ever going to top Find a Stranger in the Alps. You're gunning for second best at this point.
Oh, shit.
So I was let down by the Myrna this week.
What did we do?
You weren't showing my movie on Thursday, the only day I had off.
I'm sorry?
We didn't say this on the podcast. What movie is it that you wanted to watch?
Tim's Vermeer. Oh, we have another movie you guys should come see.
What's that?
It's called Enemy, and I'm psyched for it.
Oh, I've seen that. It's got like Louis Gossett Jr. Is
that's Enemy Mine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Nope.
Oh.
But
are you going to get Enemy Mine?
No, we are not. So what I've learned recently...
Have you ever seen Enemy Mine?
No, I've not.
All right. I love Enemy Mine.
I can see that.
When I talk about classic science fiction, it's always the first movie I bring up. Because really? Like, it has the ham-handed message, but they don't ham-hand it too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's clear that it's about racism, but they're like we're going to package it so that you can enjoy it. And like... I don't know. And it's a black man under that makeup, which makes it more poignant.
Yes.
That's Louis Gossett Jr.
I figured Louis Gossett Jr. would be the black man in this.
Not that quick. All right, anyway.
But he has a movie called
Enemy. Well, he is at the start. He learns the error of his ways, and then he raises the enemy mine as his own. Right? And he teaches him the or whatever it is. I probably just said like a slur in their native tongue.
Probably. It was very hurtful.
It's hurtful to like humans though, so it's okay.
So what I've learned between this movie, the upcoming The Double, Orphan Black, and a few other shows is I thought my favorite genres were like sci-fi and superhero movies and dark comedies and super actory porn dramas. Not porn, actory hyphen porn, not porn hyphen dramas.
So what you mean is like an example of like 27 grams?
That's not quite what I was thinking
of. Mulholland Drive?
I'm thinking something like There Will Be Blood, Kramer versus Kramer, like straight up.
Wait, just, where's the porn come in?
It's actor porn.
Oh, yes. Gotcha.
Actor hyphen porn, not porn hyphen drama.
I thought you meant like drama. A drama that's got a really good sex scene in it.
No, but I'm fond of those as well.
Requiem for a Dream. We're bringing it back.
What exactly? What scene are you talking about? That's got a great scene in it.
Ass to mouth.
The ass to ass like could be great if it's on mute. And not intercut with people losing their arms and like refrigerators going to eat people and whatever the fuck else is in that movie. That movie like horrified me. I don't know how I watched it three times.
And now
I watch it three times in 3 months and I'll never watch it again. It's great.
That man went on to make Noah.
I know.
The Bible story. The Bible story.
I know. I'm well aware. That's why I threw in the ass to ass
my
giraffes.
Point is less that I don't think you know who Darren Aronofsky is.
Oh, I do. I've seen Pi.
that is not my point. I know you know who he is. My
Who's
point.
He's going to do Batman Year One for a while.
My point is one human made both those movies. I know. And that's upsetting.
It's less upsetting when you think about Pi, though. Like, Pi is so Jewish-based that I didn't even bat an eye when I found out he was doing Noah. It made sense to me. I don't
well,
know.
Well, I'm not saying Noah's the outlier here. That's not the outlier here.
But, okay, but let's think about it this way. What is Requiem for a Dream, really? Like, what is the overall theme of Requiem for a Dream?
Listen, I saw it in high school. The message I took was, don't do drugs.
That is the fucking message.
That's the message I took out
of
it.
Plain and simple, don't do drugs. Mm-hmm. How is that not, like, expected to be from the dude, like, who makes Noah? Like, he's got one movie about, like, Jewish mysticism.
It's not the message I'm calling into question here.
Okay, no, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, if you look at his body of work, so you got, and this is a fun road to go down. So you got like Pi, which is about Jewish mysticism, right? You've got Requiem for a Dream. Don't do drugs, mm-hmm. clearly. You got The Wrestler, which is like, don't do drugs, right? I mean, you can really like boil it down to like, hey, if you want to be a parent, don't do drugs, dude. Be there and be present. And yeah, then to Noah.
What about Black Swan?
Oh, you know, I still haven't seen Black Swan yet. I can't comment on that one.
Okay, really. The message of Black Swan is alternately, don't do ballet or get therapy.
All right.
Okay, so back to Enemy.
I'm kind of embarrassed I haven't seen that yet, actually.
It's good.
It was one of those things everybody kept saying, you got to watch it. I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then everybody just stopped saying it a year and a half ago, and I forgot about it.
Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman have a sex scene.
Yeah, no, but know. I've already seen that. I haven't actually watched the movie, but I've seen that.
You've seen that.
Come on,
okay,
dude.
Good.
I live in the internet era. I have the internet. Of course I've seen that.
Okay, good.
They don't really show anything. No.
Did you see the masturbation scene?
Yes.
Okay.
They don't really show anything in that either.
No, but it's still entertaining.
I mean, that's why I might watch the movie on its whole. That is like, I hate to say it, but if you want me to watch a drama, don't put a sex scene in it.
Yeah, because you'll just watch the sex scene.
No matter how much I want to see the drama, there's a chance I'm going to watch the sex scene first, and then it kills my urge to watch the movie. I can't explain it. It's just like The Godfather.
It's because you've entered your refractory period for the movie.
The Godfather, the sex scene. Like, thank God I didn't know there's a sex scene in The Godfather, dude. Like, I don't even register it. When I watch it, practically, it's just not that. I don't know. I know we're supposed to get struck by the thunderbolt with Apollina, but she's not that good looking. Yeah. She's a little mannish. She's got man hands, dude. Her nipples are weird.
This poor woman. She's getting shat on.
She's probably really old now.
Do you think when she
liver spotted?
Do you think 40 years ago when she started filming that? Do you think she's like, you know, one day some people are gonna have an internet radio show and they're just gonna rip me apart?
All right, hold on. Yeah. So Al Pacino saw her cross a field. And he got struck by the bolt. And then he saw her weird nipples. I don't know, dude. It's not good.
So the Enemy. So
By the way, I've not let this go just yet. That ends. I originally had The Godfather on VHS, and it's two tapes. And that, like, the tape ends. The first tape ends with the breasts. Like, she shows the breasts, and then it ends. I was like, really? Somebody did that on purpose.
What a cliffhanger.
The timing, like, it's not even, it doesn't even make sense, dude. It's like an hour 50 or something, and then there's like an hour 10 on the other tape. And you're like, really? So you just timed it out to the...
That's you just stupid. Go to the end and back it up about 5 minutes.
When you hear it start to rewind, press play. I'm really into man hands and weird nipples, guys.
Hey, you have a thing for Helena Bonham Carter.
Dude, she's hot. I don't need to defend this anymore. It's my Trailer Park crushes, only she's British. So it's classy.
It's like classy Trailer Park.
She played the queen, guys.
She sure did.
Anyway, what were you talking about? Noah?
So I was saying... Previously, I thought all these different genres were my favorite genre. What I've learned about myself over the past week or so is that my favorite genre is mysterious doppelganger stories. Holy shit, do I love mysterious doppelgangers. And so basically this movie is about Jake Gyllenhaal, and he plays a professor who doesn't want to have sex with his wife, who's super horny all the time. He doesn't like people. He just sort of sits at home, right? And he's watching a movie, and he sees an actor in one of the scenes who looks exactly like him. So he tracks down this actor, and he is exactly like him. To the point that when he's sort of tracking him down, he calls the actor's wife, and the wife thinks it's the actor fucking with her. And it's so trippy and weird, and it has the most fucked up strange ending I've seen in a long time. Oh, it's so good. It's just tense. It's tense. It's so fucking
good. What's this called?
Enemy.
Okay.
It's from the dude who directed Prisoners last year. And it's based...
That was a weird... You know what, Prison... I don't remember how much we talked about on the show. I feel like hardly at all.
Not really at all.
Because we were doing like the Oscar thing. You seen Prisoners?
Yeah.
Have you seen Prisoners, Brandon?
Never even Prisoners, on the radar.
It wasn't for me either. I was just in my Oscar thing. Like, it was up for cinematography.
So did you like it as much as I did?
Okay, here's the thing. No expectations. No idea what the hell it was about.
Mm-hmm.
Start watching it. It's a "Give me back my son" movie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, my dog's looking up. Hold on a second. Give me back my son! Give me back my son! Give me back my son!
Ah. He's at the door.
Yeah, he's excited, but I used to do that for outside for him. I taught him, like, give me back my son, Matt, go outside. But now he's an old dog and eats old dog food.
And now I think you've done the give me back my son and not taken him outside enough times that it's not a guarantee anymore.
But he should know I want him to bark.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's spiting you.
He's old. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so I started watching Prisoners, and I'm like, okay, so this is like a kidnap drama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, this is a drama where, like, fucking Jake Gyllenhaal plays a weird dude, mm-hmm. and then, like, Wolverine is gonna fucking give me up, son! No, not yet? Okay. Anyway, so then there's the fucking bizarre-ass turn in this movie. Because Wolverine takes it way intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an even more bizarre thing, which I won't give away because Brandon hasn't seen it, but it involves mazes.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
And I'm amazed by that movie, dude. And I especially like Jake Gyllenhaal. Don't believe he's that character for a minute, but love the character anyway.
Really?
Just a dude who's like...
I think Jake Gyllenhaal's a really underrated actor. I really like him. I really liked him in that role, too.
Hold on. Let me drink some coffee. If you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. He breathes more than James Gandolfini in that movie.
Well, everybody like, breathes like James, more.
Right.
Everybody breathes more than James Gandolfini in that movie.
Oh, too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, James Gandolfini like gave his breath of life into Jake Gyllenhaal.
And that's not too soon because he wasn't in the movie and that's all I was referencing.
He breathes a lot in this movie. Like, this is the thing. I don't believe his character in the least, but it's still the kind of character you want for a movie like this. Like, mm-hmm. he fucking knocks it out of the park.
And I think he's so really good wrong. In that character. Let me put it this the character way. Doesn't fit the movie.
Let me put it this way. Do I believe that Liam Neeson has a particular set of skills in Taken? No. Do I love that he's playing a character with a particular set of skills? Yeah. Fucking love it, dude.
So that's where you're at with Jake Gyllenhaal on this?
Yeah. No, he's fucking doing exactly what he needs to do for this movie. He's playing the right kind of quirky character. Mm-hmm. It's great. Like, oh, God.
It's
now
really
I want
good,
to talk right? about Taken.
There was a great joke on Doug Loves Movies where someone was talking about Nonstop, that Liam Neeson movie.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Nonstop is even better if you imagine that plane he's saving is the plane he's taking to get to his daughter in Taken.
You know, it's the Jake or... Well, I got to talk about this because I just read this today. The
Action Hero Belt?
Yeah, which is an article you should read. Like, Bill Simmons did this write-up of the Action Hero Belt, I think from, like, 68 on to present day.
Mm-hmm.
And just whatever actor is, like, the best.
The action star of that
yeah,
stretch.
Of the moment. Mm-hmm. And, like, Liam Neeson. And I was thinking that when I was reading that. I'm like, who to beat today? It's got to be Liam Neeson, right? I mean, mm-hmm. seriously, because with the rules that he set down, like, one of them is you have to believe that the dude can win in a fight, like in real life.
I think they're...
So right away, that takes out like any of Marvel superheroes, except for maybe Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Like outside of that, I think that takes them all out, right?
Maybe Chris Evans, maybe. Maybe.
Nah. Nah. I know he's muscular, but I also happen to know he's like 5'6".
Yeah. But still.
He's never going to fucking punch me, dude.
You don't know that. He's closer to your groin.
Even if he punches me, dude, I'm not worried about Chris Evans. Now, Captain America, I'm scared of. Chris Evans, no.
Not so much.
No, I'd beat the shit out of Chris Evans, dude. I'm from the street, man. Rodney represent. Some little fucking Hollywood pussy.
Chris Evans, in case...
You think you're better than me, Chris Evans?
Chris Evans, in case you send some people after him, I want you to know, I think you're tough.
Are you you're talking about the tennis star Chris Evans, right?
No, he's from Boston.
No, the chick Chris Evans.
She's yeah, like, her too.
Yeah, yeah.
She could beat my ass. She could beat the living shit out of me. I'd buy it.
Anyway, so like I was thinking about that, like Liam Neeson. Now, what's amazing about Liam Neeson to me is like The Gray. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Gray?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this movie pissed me off from the start because I have this thing about wolves. Like, people are so terrified of wolves. Never killed a person. Wolves have never, like, killed a person in North America, and yet they're the most vilified animal, like, in North America, pretty much, to the point of where we, like, hunted them out of extinction in a lot of places.
And like then brought them back to hunt them again.
Yeah, it's fucking... and people get so ridiculous about them. Like, if you're mad at wolves for, like, killing your livestock, I get it. If you're mad at wolves because you think they're going to kill people, you're fucking stupid and you need to learn about wolves. So this movie rubbed me the wrong way. But yet I still watch it because Liam Neeson is kind of badass.
He's really badass. I really like the movie. And here's my sort of defense to
it. It's a good movie. I don't like that. Like that's.
I totally
that's
get what. I felt the same way when I was watching
it. I get it.
Yeah, because it's like a vicious beast in this thing. But
the only reason I don't have a problem with that is because I know it's a movie. And so, like, to me...
No, I get it.
Like,
I
wolves make a... Like, they are scary looking. They're powerful. They're fast. Like, they make sense as, like, a scary-ass monster for a movie, essentially. Like, they work really well in that role, and no, that's
and
why
I'm
I don't
not,
care.
I'm not saying they don't, but I have this thing in my head now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it was? It's growing up near Yellowstone and watching, like, how they, like, killed them all off.
Yeah.
And, like, how they come back and people have just been so fucking ridiculous about it since they come back. Because of that, I have this thing that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I get what you're saying and you're absolutely correct. But because of where I've been brought up and, like, the newspaper articles I've read, it will always rub
there's
me the wrong way.
There's a book it's called Montana Campfire Tales. And one of the stories is about 15 pages about the history of the decline of wolf in Montana. And it is tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. Definitely.
And it fucks up everything else, too. Like, allow me to get a little environmental here. Like so when you're talking about Yellowstone...
Can I say one thing? Just one real quick thing?
Yes.
Anyone... I think one of the larger issues, and this is my bigger issue with the wolf thing, is that there are people who are going to see a movie like The Gray and get the idea that wolves are like that. Like, that's my bigger problem.
Yeah.
That said, anyone who gets their biology lessons from movies like Liam Neeson movies is someone whose opinion I don't give a shit about.
Now,
so.
And I did say I enjoyed the movie.
Oh,
like,
no, I
in
agree.
In spite of that, because, like, Liam Neeson, you can't take your eyes off him. Like, the
he's good. He's magnetic.
The dude's got a particular set of skills at dispatching wolves. Mm-hmm. Like, he's fucking great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so the problem with, like, killing wolves, like let's talk about Yellowstone. So basically what happened is the bison fucking started dying off like crazy because the weaker ones weren't being thinned out by the wolves, which caused disease to go around, which caused like a ton of bison to die. The bison aren't around. It affects all the other animals. It fucks with the entire like ecosystem to take the wolves out. And so it's really something that you need. Like, just from a practical standpoint, if you want to see all the animals in Yellowstone, you can't fuck with the animals that are at Yellowstone. You got to let
them. Except for the trumpeter swan and jackrabbit.
What about them?
They're almost extinct in Yellowstone because of the wolves.
Oh, yeah?
There used to be thousands of trumpeter swans, but the wolves have eaten their eggs, and there were, as of 4 or 5 years ago, there were 26 left. Like, the entire population
now,
is
how
gone.
Much of that do you think is because we reintroduced wolves?
There is a direct correlation. They've actually watched them go into the nest and eat the eggs.
Okay, so what I mean is, how much of this do you think is our fault? As in, like, the wolves didn't care so much about them, and then we put them in a new environment, and they start reacting to that environment in a different way because it's alien to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
No. Okay. That's not quite... But they physically, like, reintroducing them destroyed this population of...
I think what you're saying is possible. I think another possibility is that the trumpeter swans got to go so long without needing to worry about wolves that when wolves were reintroduced, they were not prepared.
Yeah. Chris, they don't think like...
Trumpeter swans aren't known for their planning skills.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know what the fuck a trumpeter swan
is. It's a swan that plays the trumpet. What do you think?
Oh, okay. That's kind of awesome. It's sort of like the bears that you feed, right?
They really make great cartoon subjects.
By the way, that's another thing that people hate is when you talk about feeding bears. That's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a bad idea. Yep. That's why they stopped doing it at Yellowstone. Because guess what happens when you don't have food? That hand
they're gonna
that
try
you stick
to find
out
them.
Is your fucking is their food.
Yep. That's why you just leave picnic baskets for them.
Hey, Mr. Ranger, sir. How about a picnic basket? You can't have a picnic basket, Yogi. Well, then I'll tear off your arm, Mr. Ranger, sir. Here's your picnic basket, Yogi. I don't know if he's... Yeah,
I'm done. Okay, boo-boo.
By the way, I was sitting there watching Inside Llewyn Davis, and I was like, that's fucking Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, yeah.
Really?
She doesn't like this game that I play. I'm trying to like call out every actor.
Colin Malloy's in that movie, too.
I don't know who that is.
He's from Helena. He's the lead singer of the Decemberists.
Oh, see, the one that actually was nominated for a Grammy last year,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's from Helena. That's the only reason I thought it might be worth noting.
Okay. should we put a pin in this for now and roll over to part two?
Yeah. Lesson we learned, like a Darren Aronofsky movie.
Don't go ass.
Don't
ass
fuck
ass
with it. Wolves. Oh, yeah, and don't go ass to ass. With wolves.
Tune in tomorrow. Same